The scripture reading for this evening is Genesis 3, verses 4 through 6. I will be reading from the ESV. But the serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate, and she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate.
Well, good evening. I want to welcome you and thank you for joining us tonight. I want to welcome you to my four-hour talk about information overload, where we're going to detail everything that we can. Obviously, we're not going to go that long, hopefully, but we do want to talk about an important subject tonight, and that is information overload. As a society, this is something that we're really struggling with right now. Whether it's on social media, where information is just constantly beamed at you, 24-hour news programming, it just feels overwhelming, doesn't it? Anything you want to know about, you pretty much can with a simple search. But you know, there are some problems that arise from being bombarded with information, and we're going to quickly discuss some of those problems and pertains to information overload. So what are some of those problems? Well, first, one of the issues that we can run into is that we become apathetic. We just get so exhausted by hearing all the different problems that are out there, and it just makes us not care. It just means that we just get so much less energy. We just become so demotivated by all the information that we're bombarded with. But it can also lead to confusion and frustration. With all this information just being thrown at us, we hear conflicting reports. We're hearing reports that maybe things aren't as bad as they seem, and then other reports saying, oh, they're just terrible and the end of the world is coming. And it's just too much. It creates frustration. It creates confusion. And finally, we're on constant edge. We keep taking things in, and we have the potential to just emotionally explode because we're so overwhelmed. We keep asking the question, well, what's next in 2020, right? And the news reports don't do us any good, because with every incredible news story that comes out, there has to be an even more incredible headline, right? Like, who named it Murder Hornets? And that's the name that we're stuck with, right? And yet, that came. It was in the news cycle for a day or two, and it was gone. And then we moved on to what? The Godzilla dust cloud that was coming. Couldn't we just call it a dust cloud? No, we had to add Godzilla in there for extra effect. And it's just, it's overwhelming. It feels like the news and social media just keeps to wanting to one-up itself. So what do we do to survive emotionally, mentally, physically, and spiritually in this information overload society in which we live? What are the solutions? Well, number one, we can't fall into the trap of FOMO as it pertains to information. FOMO stands for fear of missing out. And in particular, in our society, we seem to elevate those who have the most amount of information, right? And so We elevate these people who have all this information. We seem to elevate people who are constantly in the know. And yet, really, that's not healthy. It's not the healthiest thing. Because it's okay if we don't know. There's plenty of stuff going on in the world that we'll never have any idea about. And that's okay. You know, it almost comes across as like a certain breed of Gnosticism. Gnosticism has this idea that if you have a certain kind of knowledge, a certain level of knowledge, that's in some way going to save you. And yet, I think we're seeing a lot of that today. Oh, you don't know about this? Well, why not? What's wrong with you? Oh, you don't know about every single option that's out there? Well, then you can't be a part of this discussion. It's ridiculous. And you know what this led to, this fear of missing out as it pertains to information, it really led to the fall in the garden, didn't it? Eve being tempted by Satan. Oh, you don't know what God knows. You got to know more. You got to know everything there is to know in order to truly be happy. Well, we're kind of, a lot of times we see that in how we value information in our society. But the reality is, I don't have to know about every controversial opinion. I don't have to know about every controversy. I don't have to know about gun violence that happens halfway across the world and allow it to affect me the way that sometimes we allow the news to affect us. Look over in John chapter 21. And I'm going to start in verse 20. John 21, and starting in verse 20, it says, Peter turned and saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following them, the one who had also leaned back against him during the supper, and had said, Lord, who is it that's going to betray you? When Peter saw him, he said to Jesus, Lord, what about this man? And Jesus said to him, if it is my will that he remain until I come, what is that to you? You follow me. So the saying spread abroad among the brothers that the disciple was not to die, yet Jesus did not say to him that he was not going to die, but if it is my will that he remain until I come, what is that to you? And so what do we see here? We see Peter asking, well, what's going to happen to this guy? Give me that information. I'm really interested. And Jesus essentially says, you worry about you, Peter. You focus on you. And I think there's a good principle there for us. We might want to know everything that's going to happen, and we might want to know everything about everyone, but what's the reality? We need to focus on ourselves first to make sure that we're on the right path, to make sure that we're following Jesus right. We need to focus and make sure, to put it in another way, that the log is out of our own eye first. Our second solution that I want to talk about is setting filters. You know, every car, and I could be wrong on this, unless it's like an electric vehicle, every car has an air filter. What's that air filter there for? It filters out the debris, right? Now, what if I go to my car and I say, you know what? I'm going to take the air filter out. In fact, I'm just going to take the whole air box out. I'm going to let my car just breathe as much as it wants. I'm going to let anything that wants to go inside my car in it. I want it to experience life. And so I'm about to turn onto the on-ramp, getting onto the highway. Air filter's off, air box is off. I pop it down into second gear. I give it full throttle. Oh, and it's just sucking in all the air. And it sucks in a big old leaf. And it sucks in a couple little rocks. And I go, oh, engine, you should be so happy. I'm letting you experience everything that life has to offer. Do you think my engine's going to be happy with me? I'm probably going to hear some clunking sounds and then maybe throw a rod or something through the engine, right? An air filter keeps junk out of the car, and it keeps the car running healthy. Filters are good. They're needed. It reminds me of Jethro and Moses in Exodus chapter 18. In that setting, Moses, he just takes the whole world on himself. He feels like he has to judge every little problem that comes into the camp. And so all these people are coming to Moses constantly. And Jethro, his father-in-law, says, what are you doing, Moses? You're going to kill yourself doing it this way. What you need to do, Moses, is you need to set up men who can judge the little things, and you only take on the big things. What's Jethro saying? You, Moses, need to set up filters so you're not dealing with everything and anything that comes through here. Moses was killing himself physically. It was causing him physical and emotional and potential mental issues with the kind of stress that he was having to put on himself. But how many of us are doing the same thing when we don't filter out our media? sinful information, images and videos that are sexual on social media, movies, TV, bad language, bad messages in songs, not just cussing, but in songs, are we worrying about the messages that we and our family are hearing? Social media, but not just sinful information, are we filtering out the negative stuff, the stuff that causes us anxiety and undue stress? Or are we even filtering out just the fact that maybe there's just too much stuff that we're trying to take in? Part of the problem right now, I think, is that too many people have too much time on their hands, and they think they can handle it all. We think that because maybe life is different right now during quarantine for certain people, that we can have the time to just take it all in, and we've got to be in the know about every little thing. It's not healthy. So what are some helpful filters that we can look at? What about this one? Put the phone down and turn the news off. I think that's a good filter. Now, the second one is a tech secret that the tech companies don't want you to know about. You don't have to respond to every post on the internet. I know that's a crazy thought. I know that we have this urge to write our thoughts and press send and let the world know what we think. And sometimes we even do it when it's not even any of our business. Look over with me at Proverbs chapter 26. And we're going to look at verse 17. Proverbs 26, verse 17. Whoever meddles in a quarrel not his own is like one who takes a passing dog by the ears. I love this one. All the Proverbs are good, but this is some vivid imagery, right? You can see the guy going and pulling on the dog's ears, grabbing the dog's ears, and what's going to happen to that hand? It's going to get bit. Do we have the ability to just keep on scrolling and being okay with not interjecting ourselves into conversations that aren't our own? Here's another helpful filter. Focus on the good. Let's look over at Philippians chapter 4. In verse 8, and you probably already know where I'm going with this. Because Paul says this. He says, "Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things." How often do we fill ourselves up with anxiety-inducing, depression-inducing news? As compared to how often are we feeding ourselves with God's word? Are we filling our minds with the news, or are we filling our minds with the good news? We have an option. How about this for a helpful filter? Turn off notifications on your devices. How many times, and I'm guilty of this, how many times have we been going through the day and we hear that ding coming from our phone? And what's the initial reaction? I gotta check it. We have become a nation of Pavlov's dogs, is what we've become, right? You know, Pavlov, he would do the bell with the food and the dog was slobbering, but it got to the point where the dog learned behavior. Pavlov could ring the bell without any food and the dog would start slobbering on its own, right? How often do we hear that ding and go, "Oh, I gotta check it. It's the same kind of learned behavior. Do we have the willingness to turn off notifications and maybe even just have a quiet meal together? How about this for a filter? Check the IMDb, ESRB, and Common Sense Media. Now, what are these? IMDb is Internet Movie Database. And you can go on there before you watch a movie, and I encourage you to do this, and it will tell you why a movie is rated the way it's rated. This is a good filter. It'll tell you language, if there's sex or nudity, violence. That's a good filter to have. ESRB is the same thing, but for video games. Are you incorporating that into your family's life? And Common Sense Media is a good website in that it consolidates a lot of this information and gives a really good perspective on a lot of the media that we run into in our lives. And here's one more idea in terms of helpful filters. Filtering out words in social media apps. If you find yourself frustrated by particular topics, at least on one social media app that I'm on, Twitter, you can actually filter out certain words. So if there's things you don't want to hear about, filter them. You don't have to read about it. It's your choice. So besides the fear of missing out on information and besides setting filters, let's look at our next solution in terms of dealing with information overload. How do we choose which evidence to give weight to? Because the reality is we can't deal with all the information that we're being bombarded with. So let's talk about how we can deal with that. Are we checking our sources? If a brother, uncle, aunt, sister, whatever, sends us something from a random blog, are we treating that the same as we are from like a peer-reviewed journal? I hope we're not. Because they're peer-reviewed. They should be a little bit better in terms of accuracy and the weight that we give that information. And Steve Ingram did an excellent video on this, I think it was a couple weeks ago, about medical information, which I recommend watching, and it's on our YouTube channel. But are we checking the sources? Are we reading reputable sources? What about this one? Oops. Are we checking the date? So I have a friend who was sent some information about COVID. And the person that sent him this information, they said, look at the numbers. Everything's being made out to be worse than it really is. These numbers, there's hardly any cases anywhere. And so my friend looked at the data, and he looked at the date. And the date was from like the beginning of March. And this was like 2 months later. And my friend was like, I can't give this information that much weight because it's outdated information. We've got to be careful. We've got to check our sources. We've got to check the date. And finally, we have to remember intellectual honesty. And what do we mean by that? Well, is something photoshopped? Is it deepfaked? Now, what are those? You can take a picture and easily manipulate it into whatever you want. You can add things. You can take away things. You can make it do whatever you want. Have you ever been duped by Photoshop? A lot of people have. You might look at a picture and go, did that really happen? Wow, I can't believe that actually happened. Well, maybe it didn't. We've got to do our research. A deepfake is something that Tim talked about in an article not too long ago, where you can actually take a face of a person and put that onto a face of a person in a video, and it looks like they're the ones who made the video. That's powerful. You can make anybody say whatever you want. Are we checking our sources? Oh, this is a good one. Have you ever found a quote that was taken out of context? When do we see this happen? Watch any news program, right? Check any social media outlet. I mean, you will constantly find quotes out of context, and then you see the fuller context, and you're like, oh, that actually makes sense. You know, that why did they just take that one sentence? Or the worst part is when there's a part of a sentence, and then there's the ellipsis, right? The dot, 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 and then another part. And it's that middle part that they've cut out that is so vital to what the person is actually trying to say. Now, we're bombarded with this information. Are we doing our due diligence before passing it along? Because there's so much information, we've got to see what's actually true. And then we have to actually weigh the evidence. We have to be able to test the spirits. Look over in 1 John chapter 4. John says this, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, for many false prophets have gone out into the world." Now, John has a particular application that he's making there, but there's a principle of making sure that we are testing the information that we receive. I think also about the Bereans in Acts who tested Paul and Silas. They tested an apostle to see if it was truth. This requires questioning. It requires digging. It requires making sure the facts are straight. I recently ran into a situation with my internet service provider, and I got a phone call, and they said, "Your plan that you were on is running out. The deal that you were on is running out. We're going to have to change you to a new deal." I said, "Okay, that sounds good." And they said, "Really, the only difference that this deal has is that you now have a data cap, meaning you can't go above a certain amount of data." I said, "Okay, how big is the data cap?" They said a terabyte. So I asked three main questions. Number one, have I ever been close to that data cap? Nope, you've been great. Okay, that works. Number two, is there an unlimited option? No, there's no unlimited option. If you go over, you'll have to buy chunks of data. Okay. Number three, before I go over the data cap, will you all give me some kind of information saying I'm about to go over? Yes, we will call you and make sure that you are fully aware that you're about to go over the cap. Okay, sounds good. So about 3 weeks after that, I get a phone call. And the lady on the line says, "Sir, you've gone over your data for the month." And I said, "Really?" I said, "That's an interesting thing. I didn't receive a phone call about it." "Oh, you didn't? You were supposed to." "No, I never did." And she said, "Well, here's the deal. For an extra $11 a month, you can have unlimited data." And I said, "Now, wait a second." I said, "I just asked 3 weeks ago if that was a possibility, and I was told no." "Well, I'm sorry." "Okay. Well, why didn't I receive a phone call?" I don't know. "But you're over." "Well, you know, that's funny because I was told that my previous months, I was nowhere close to being over." I don't know what to tell you. "I can get you over to customer service." "Oh, okay, that sounds good." So she sent me over to customer service. So I'm talking to the lady there. And I said, "You know, this is what's happened. It just kind of feels funny." And I said, "Can we actually check the numbers? Like, how far over am I?" She looked it up on her end. I looked it up on mine. I hadn't even used 50% of my data for that month. And I said, "Now, why do you think that the lady would tell me that I was over my data?" And she goes, "I don't know. I don't know why she would say that." And I said, "Well, I have a guess. It's because y'all are in the business of making money." But that's just a guess, right? You all want to make money. You want my money, right? And I said, "Now, I'm not saying she did it intentionally. I don't think she necessarily lied intentionally. She may have. I don't know. Maybe she read the wrong account. Maybe she read the information wrong. But whatever it is, if I hadn't questioned, if I hadn't dug, I would be paying the extra money, right? And so it's worth it to dig." And when we think about things that maybe we'll see on social media, when we think about things that we see on the news, when we think about things that we're hearing from family members, are we digging? Are we questioning? Are we making sure that what's said is truth? And here's our final solution to our information overload problem. And I think this is the most important one. You know, we've talked about the fear of missing out. We've talked about setting good filters. We've talked about what to do with evidence, about weighing it and which ones to give weight to. But this is the most important solution to our information overload problem. I want us to look over in 1 Timothy chapter 6. Paul tells Timothy this. He says, in the second part of verse 2, teach and urge these things. If anyone teaches a different doctrine and does not agree with the sound words of our Lord Jesus Christ and the teaching that accords with godliness, he's puffed up with conceit and understands nothing. He has an unhealthy craving for controversy and for quarrels about words, which produce envy, dissension, slander, evil suspensions, and constant friction among people who are depraved in mind and deprived of the truth, imagining that godliness is a means of gain. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of the world. You cannot tell me that you can turn on social media and news and not see people who are craving unhealthy controversy and creating friction. That's all that it tends to be, right? It used to be that there was the 6 o'clock news, and it was just at 6 o'clock. They've got to fill it. I was told once that if it bleeds, it leads. That the terrible stories are the ones that are going to take the good to the forefront. News and social media are really, really good at creating controversy and creating friction. And we've got to be aware of it. We can't learn our contentment in those outlets. We have to learn our contentment where? In the Lord. In 2 Corinthians, in chapter 11, we'll be reading from verse 12, specifically verse 9. But in chapter 11, it's one of my favorite passages. Here, Paul's recounting all the terrible things that he's been through. He's been shipwrecked multiple times. He's been beaten. He's just gone through so much. He has the constant anxiety of the churches on his mind. And he has this thorn in the flesh that he's pleaded with God to remove. And what does God say? But he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me." It might be that we feel like we have to know everything about what's going on in the world right now. We've talked about some solutions to that. But here's the question that I think is paramount. Are we allowing God's grace to be sufficient for us? If we allow God's grace to be sufficient for us, if we're willing to give it all to the Lord and trust in him and what he has for us, we don't have to be as nervous about everything going on. We can face calamity. We can face all these terrible things that Paul faced, and yet still say that his grace is sufficient for us. We are bombarded with information. It affects us physically, emotionally, mentally, and spiritually. But at the end of the day, God is sufficient. So here's the question tonight. Are you trusting in God? In this information overload world that we live in, are you trusting in the one who's truly king of it all? We can be content in Christ. He's already done what he's needed to do. But if you've not learned that contentment in Christ, by being baptized, putting to death the old man, and being raised to a new life, trusting in the Lord, tonight is the night to do it, to learn contentment in Christ. And we want to urge you to do that. We're here for you. You can reach out to me, Tim Hall, Tim Haywood, and we've got the baptistry ready. Reach out. But if you feel like the world has just overwhelmed you, if you feel like you can't deal with all the information that's coming at you, that's also why we're here. We're here to support you. Everyone feels overwhelmed. But that's why we're a family, isn't it? And if you need prayers, if you need support, and you need to ask for prayers at the church, again, you can contact Tim Hall, Tim Haywood, or me, and we'll help you. We're family. Let's find our contentment in the Lord, because that's the only place we can find it.